Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God and asking, praying for the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You are King of Kings. And we look to you. We look for your soon kingdom here and pray for it and worship you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so 2 Kings 11 and 12, I've entitled tonight's Serving in the Kingdom. Serving in the Kingdom. We find a critical juncture for the people of God concerning, remember the split of the kingdom? That was right after Solomon. So from the promise given to David that he would always have a son on the throne, two kings later, two sons later, 10 of the tribes are torn out of the hand of the kingdom of the sons of David and given to another, and Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And we've been studying this, watching the kings go back and forth. We come to this point where at the hand of Jehu, in the command he was given to really wipe out Ahab and his sons and sons' sons, that the kingdom of Judah, Amaziah, got tangled up in his friendship with the kings of the northern kingdom, and he was killed. And we find that in chapter 11, verse 1, Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. Now, if you hadn't read ahead or didn't quite know where this would go, you might find out what happens next to be absolutely startling. It says that she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. Now, we pick up this study literally in the Hebrew. Royal heirs is the seed of the kingdom. When we study the scriptures, it's the seed of Abraham. It's the promise unto God that there would be a seed way back in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. And this is by design. Now we come to this place so our eyes would be opened unto what happens next. We study this out. Athaliah, the queen mother, if you will, takes upon herself to kill all of her children and grandchildren. And satanic, if you will, Satan's effort to destroy the line of of David, the seed of David, the promise given and by covenant to David that he would have a man on the throne. Again, and we take this up for us, not so much to emphasize Athaliah and what she is able to do under the power of Satan, but for us who serve in the kingdom of Jesus Christ to be strengthened as we serve in God's kingdom now. So I just know this and went back, picked up Pilgrim's Progress again this last week, and I was most interested in his, when he comes around, Christian, who's on his way to the celestial city and he's on his journey, as it were, and when he encounters Apollyon, which is a name for Satan, destroyer. And he fought him over half the day and was sore wounded. And I was discipling a brother this week and just describing unto him and the warfare that he was in and what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And he said, well, what's the rule of a knife fight? I learned this from my pastor. What's the rule of a knife fight? Rule of a knife fight, you're going to get cut. That's the rule. Not some's going to win and some's going to lose. The idea is if that knife comes out and you're in a knife fight, you're going to get cut. Likewise, when you are in warfare and when it is Satan who is warring, the destroyer, as it were, and that's why I went back to Pilgrim's Progress and picked that back up, because we come to a section in 2 Kings where the mother of Ahaziah rises up and kills all of the royal seed except one. Now, find your way to Hebrews 12:28. This is what sets the tone for me tonight, and I want to set the tone for you. And hopefully you're catching it as we take an emphasis, I believe, in equipping the saints for the work of ministry. equipping the saints to serve in the kingdom of God. And my encouragement to you, don't be shaken. John the Baptist was not a reed shaken in the wind. Jesus was not soon shaken. Paul tells the Thessalonian church not to be soon shaken over this report as if the day of Christ had come and they had missed the rapture. Not to be soon shaken. For 2 Thessalonians 2, I think it's 2:2. We come to this in Hebrews 12, and the declaration is we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. How do I know that? When Jesus was arrested and when he was before Pontius Pilate and the question being offered up is, you know, where's the fight? Because he opened not his mouth. Where's the fight? He wasn't fighting for his rights. He wasn't fighting to save his life because he came exactly to fulfill that. And Jesus is very clear. If my kingdom was of this world, my followers would be fighting right now. Now, we take this up in Hebrews 12:28. I'll pick it up in context for 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Now, some of you are working out this call of God upon your life. What am I going to be doing for the kingdom of God? Now, my encouragement to you is don't wait to start doing something for the kingdom of God that when you hear, oh, now I will start. No, start now. Serve in the kingdom of God. Start serving, get going. It might be enough for you to learn 6-month commitments in ministry, picking up these things. We're planting churches. We're sharing the gospel, missions trips. You have opportunity to get going on serving in the kingdom, teaching children's ministry, cleaning the church building, washing windows, right? Serving in helps ministry. There are opportunities in the ministry that abound. And in fact, as I think about all of you, I would say most of us are serving in the kingdom of God. You can change a diaper for the kingdom of God as you serve in nursery. See, this viewpoint is, we come to this kingdom, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Thus describing the end of all things, there is an end of all things, and at the end of all things you will receive a reward for this life. You will receive a reward for the works that you have done. And that's great news as you take up, I'm going to serve in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful understanding if you are receiving what he says. Verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. Thus describing, I believe, even the earth will be shaken in the end, earthquakes in various places, and describing that this material world can be shaken. And it's the intent now to see this is an eternal, everlasting kingdom that can't be shaken. Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years of his eternal kingdom. The first 1,000 years are here on the earth as he rules. And since the things that are made, the things which cannot be shaken, may remain. Thus, the spiritual realm, the establishment of the kingdom of God for all of eternity, that kingdom that will be given to the saints. And this is the key verse tonight, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And on your way back, I'll just Romans 12:10-11 to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. As you take this up tonight, we find out serving in the kingdom. If there ever was a day that we needed a servant in the right place at the right time, it's an Athaliah's day. Don't think that the ministry that you might be called unto is to be overlooked as, oh, it doesn't matter much. To God, you might be the one in that child's life who points them to Christ. You might be the one. You know, I love this truth. I have people that call me up from past experience of having been here in church, and the door is always open. I get calls like that to minister the Word of God, to be there, to understand, to pray, to seek. I mean, someone had to lead Billy Graham to the Lord. You know, I don't know the perspective of what you count of value concerning what we do, but this is the charge. So Athaliah arises and destroys all the royal heirs. Those of you who are interested, the woman that rides the beast, Revelation 17:6, was guilty with the bloodshed of the saints of God. Athaliah is a type of the woman that rides the beast, guilty of the bloodshed of the saints of God. We find as she seeks to destroy the royal seed, Satan gets this close, down to one of the children, but Jehosheba, verse 2. Now, she's also known, again, an adaptation of her name in 2 Chronicles. Her name means God of Covenant, and then in 2 Chronicles, God of the oath and covenant of God. This name that she is well named, she's the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah. So this is her entering in, sister of Ahaziah. She took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom, literally in the room for the mattresses. So a place where there would be no expectation to look for one of the children, one of the seeds, and kept and hid him from Athaliah so that he was not killed. Verse 3, he was hidden. He was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now your emphasis might be Athaliah reigned over the land. And 6 years is a long time for, as I would say, bondage. See, are you fitted for this? Are you fit for the type of ministry that may take 6 years in resistance in order to come forth to liberty? You know, the action upon which, if you will, if you have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, therefore you should not be shaken over the ups and downs, ins and outs, wins and losses. Or, if I may be as bold to put it into this category, when you are wounded in all of your warfare against the enemy as he shoots at you, and you fought sorely at him for better of a half a day, and some of his fiery darts got through, and you were sore wounded, and then you need to be healed. Such that I would describe, if you're in a knife fight against sword of the Spirit, Word of God, living and powerful, and you're standing toe-to-toe against the enemy concerning people's lives, I think it would be such to take up in this understanding to know the God of the New Covenant, if you will, as you give me the liberty with Jehosheba's name, or the oath and covenant that God had made to David. She understood. Now, why did she understand? Well, we'll get to that in a bit. 6 years, he studied this out in Scripture, 6 years is the term in which a slave would be sold into servitude, and in the seventh year was declared liberty for one in bondage. Are you fitted for a ministry that can pray for and deliver those who have been taken captive by the enemy to do his will? It's time to understand that, well, great example right now in the world, Wes Bentley heads into Africa to start churches only to find out that you can't start with churches if you can't protect them, and the country was in war. So what ministry, right, since you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, but this part of the African continent is shaken by war, well, then you have to establish, and again, Lord willing, he established all these chaplains. Now, that's a great example. And so how some would come along and say, well, we don't want to support a ministry like that. I would say unto you, if you read your scriptures and you understand, there are, Jehoshaphat is fitted. She takes courage and she goes and secures the life of one of the babies. And some of you serving in nursery, or one of you serving, how many of you who grew up in church remember your nursery teacher taught you the very first things of the scriptures? I remember my Sunday school teachers who taught me the Word of God. Now, you take this up, and 6 years of bondage, well, then I'm looking forward to the glorious seventh year of liberty, if you will. But something's required in 6 years. Find your way to the book of Revelation. If you thought first century Christianity was where you want to live and it was romanticized in your heart and your mind, oh, when the church was brand new, I want to be there. I, if there was ever a time period, I wish I could live in that time period. Do you? All of the apostles were killed in the first century for their faith in Christ Jesus, save one. As he writes Revelation, he describes himself. Again, the introduction of Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. This book is for you as you serve in his kingdom. And since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, this last book of the Bible was written for the servants. And if you look at verse 9, this is John's description. He says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Thus describing all the trouble that came into the first century concerning those that followed Christ and how Satan sought to destroy the church right in the beginning when it was new and small. Now, he's been sowing carefully in cycles. I mean, every church that starts with the move of God's Holy Spirit, after some amount of time, 35 to 50 years, ends in corruption and falls apart, and God has to start something new in another way. So this being fitted to serve in a kingdom, and then this is not the great tribulation, this is not the first half of that seven-year time period. This is John describing that trouble that they had in this world. In fact, if you study the world right now, there are more places, once again, where it is tribulation to be a Christian, to live out your faith. And thus describing for us, as we would take heed unto this, and the key word I want to bring forth, the patience of Jesus Christ, 6 years. It takes patience to wait for 6 years of wicked Athaliah reigning over the people of God. Don't be shaken. Don't be shaken. It doesn't matter whether you like what's going on around you, whether you like what's going on in the world, or whether you like, right, again, this effort to wait, build, trust, pray, until the Lord says now, and then you're ready for that action. He was on the island called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So as we take up this serving in the kingdom, and we find out that Jehoshaphat, right, her attention is drawn onto the seed or the son of the kingdom. It's a great connection for us to see our loyalty in serving in the kingdom of God. Our loyalty is to the Son of God, the Son of David, the Messiah. In this glorious work of hiding him in the house of the Lord, probably not a safer place for Athaliah. I don't think Athaliah is coming for worship services. We find out in the seventh year, verse 4, Jehoiada. Now, turns out, Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, married the priest Jehoiada. That's her husband in verse 4. So she being a daughter of King Joram, again from different parentage, Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel from the northern kingdom of Israel. And bore Ahaziah, and she acts like her father and mother. Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of the hundreds of the bodyguards and escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. Now, when you study this in 2 Chronicles 23, it describes what he did. There's five names listed. He secured five of the Levites, and as he secured them, they went out into all of the kingdom where these Levites were from, and they secured the leaders of the Levites, and they came to Jerusalem. Now, it's written here that he brought them into the house of the Lord. Now, verse 5, he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Now, when we take this up, and I'll give you another patience verse before we get past that too far, I want you to find 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Maybe you thought the apostolic period of church history was great. So you think of, well, the apostles of Jesus, and then you pick up Paul, who was born out of, as he described, due time, or undue time, as it would read. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. But in all these things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Now, what did that mean in first century? In much patience, tribulations, needs, distresses. Now, he goes on into stripes, imprisonments, etc., but 2 Corinthians 6, 4. A church fitted to do ministry when the world around them is being shaken. The rules are changing. A church fitted to be able to send a team into different parts of the world to accomplish a work of ministry on a missions trip that is fitted for us. There's some preparation. A church fitted to start churches in North Dakota so the Word of God can be taught once again in this state. You know, getting the bigger towns. Again, just work with me here a little bit. Now, he showed him the king's son. End of verse 4. Now, as we take up this serving in the kingdom, here's where I introduce unto you the concentration as in all of your serving, right? Make sure that you find the Son of God. You're serving Jesus Christ. As you serve in the kingdom of God, you're serving the Son of God. So Jehoiada means God who knows. And if you'll catch this, he actually brings them into a covenant and an oath. That's his wife's name, Jehosheba. Interesting to me as you look at some of these things that the Holy Spirit puts in there. And thus describing this covenant, this oath, and in the house of the Lord, he shows him the king's son. And he gives him a command. But if you'll allow me to work with this analogy I've already introduced to you, 6 years of bondage, what's about to happen in the seventh year? Glorious liberty. Now, have you forgotten, and I hope you haven't, what awaits us? You might labor more than 6 years. What John, as he's writing this letter of Revelation, he's describing the kingdom and patience and tribulations. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, describes tribulations, these beatings, okay? The sufferings of Christ. We should not be such foreigners in our mind concerning the sufferings of Christ, but to set yourself to serve in the kingdom. The trials will come soon enough. Romans 8:18. Paul writes, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So in the seventh year is this glorious revealing of the Son of David. Now we find Romans 8:18. There's a glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And then there you have the adopted sons. So There's a great effort, if you will, and set yourself on a pace that you can serve all the days of your life. And in every circumstance, prepare yourself, equip yourself, establish yourself that I will serve the Lord the rest of my days. And when it's tribulation, again, you serve the Lord, and when all the money dries up, when the kingdom, you know, of this world is shaken and the wealthy get wealthier and then the poor get poorer, I don't think any of us in the room are going to be in the wealthy category. Okay? Now, we consider this. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Thus describing that all the trouble that's coming into the world is by God's design. So don't be troubled as you are in trouble in the world, is really what this reads. And you set yourself in, just say it, none of these things move me. I will not be shaken. I will serve God. One of the best things I've learned from my pastor, both in his words and then in his actions, is a phrase, a pithy saying, serve through it. Whatever's going on in your life, don't stop serving God. There's always a reason to stop serving him. Too hard. You need counseling. You need help. Okay, but don't stop serving God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. 6 years bondage, 7th year liberty. I don't know how long it's going to take of the bondage of corruption in this world. Is the lust of this world getting any better? No. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Endurance, perseverance, patience. This kingdom, in fact, if you would study it out, you're like, why hasn't the Lord come back already? Well, Peter answers that. He says that it's the long-suffering of the Lord, which means salvation. And as the Lord waits and is saving more people, and there are groups of people, and we have yet to see some of the things we're asking and praying for God to do a great and mighty work amongst peoples who have formerly rejected him. Now, when I take up this place, and I'm back in 2 Kings 11, verse 5, he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. 1/3 of you on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. 1/3 of you shall be at the gate of Shur, and 1/3 at the gate of the behind the escorts. You shall keep watch of the house, lest it be broken down. The two contingents of you will go off duty on the Sabbath, who go off duty on the Sabbath, keep the watch of the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. Now I take up, if you will, I could have started numbering them, but it works like this. Under the serving in the kingdom, you have Jehoshaphat, you have Jehoiada, and now all of the servants that have been enlisted. I mean, if you understand the modern world in which we're living in, almost every church now has a security team with weapons. Okay? Here you end up with something very similar here, where he weaponizes all of the men to protect the king. And so serving the Lord in watching and praying. And how about this? the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Would it take 6 years to pull down a stronghold? Would it take 16 years to pull down a stronghold? See, this is not about us just doing church better. How to have a cleaner, tighter church service and transitions and lighting, cue the lights and the music. And it's not about us having better church services. It's about us hearing from God, hearing Him who speaks to us. And I want to revive for us. There was a time when men would hear the call and go out and teach the Bible and start church all throughout this country, because we've got to get the Word of God there. They need to know the way the Holy Spirit is. They need Jesus again. And this taking up of the watching and praying weapons of our warfare remind you of the weapon of prayer. Ephesians 6:18, 2 Corinthians 10:4. Okay? The weapon of prayer. Don't count prayer a small thing. Don't skip prayer. If you're going to take down a stronghold, you have someone taken captive by the enemy to do his will. What are you to pray? That they come to their senses. Okay? This is not the time for soft men. Would you go out in the wilderness to see a soft man? Then Jesus is going to talk about John the Baptizer. He says, he's not a soft man. He says, men who wear soft men, they're in king's palaces, wear soft clothing. Thus describing, again, if you catch, John the Baptizer was rugged, fitted. He was not a reed shaken in the wind. He would not move based off of the wind of change that was going on in the world. If you listen to it, I mean, I've been doing this long enough to see things blow in and out of church as well as the society, culture, concerning what was clearly sin before is now embraced in many places as moral behavior. And I think you catch the context. A weapon of prayer. Let them be put to death. Verse 8. You are able, right? You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. There's a great work of ministry serving in the kingdom. See to it that you, and all that you do, Jesus is with you, serving the king. As I, again, Colossians 1:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. A lot of this resides within you and what you're doing and how you're seeing what you're doing. And I haven't actually formally counted it all out to list the number of people in church and the ministry that you're serving in, but I suspect we're over 90% of the church is serving God. Do you know what the normal numbers are? Somewhere between 10 and 30%. Now, this isn't a time to pat yourself, break your arm, patting yourself on the back. This is the time for you to take to heart, what are you doing? And to serve in the kingdom. Verse 9, so the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded them. Each of them took his men who were on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priests gave the captains of the hundreds the spears, the shields, which belonged to King David and were in the temple of the Lord. Then the escort stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, all around the king. From the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple and by the altar of the house. And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony, right? The word of God. Okay? Gave him the copy of the law that the king is to have. They made him king, anointed him. They clapped their hands and said, long live the king. Now find our way to Revelation 11. Before it actually happens, there's this glorious declaration. Before what happens? Well, seven judgments of this, seven judgments of that, seven seals, seven bowls, seven trumpets. Before it's all over, and it will be all over, Jesus Christ, through all those judgments, will come and set up his kingdom. I plan on serving in that kingdom. Okay, accordingly, Revelation 1:6 describes, we as kings and priests will be serving in that kingdom. Declaration in 11:15, the seventh angel sounded. So this is the seventh trumpet. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, here's the declaration, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now in that, which still needs to happen, that declaration is made before Revelation even talks about the Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, and before he even talks about the woman that rides the beast and all of these things that, and even before he talks about Armageddon. See, as that declaration is made, we're in 2 Kings 11, they're anointing the king, and that declaration is made. Athaliah is still there. Her response in 13, Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people. She came to the people in the temple of the Lord. Now, when you study 2 Chronicles, she stole from the temple of the Lord to set up the temple of Baal. I doubt she's been in the temple of the Lord. She comes there, she looks at the pillar. The king's standing by a pillar according to the custom, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, so Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, treason, treason. And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and officers of the army and said to them, take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her. Now, what kind of ministry is a chaplain ministry? Maybe called upon to kill those who are trying to kill others. For the priest had said, do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord. Verse 16, they seized her. She went by the way of the horses, entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. Now, verse 17, then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal, tore it down. They thoroughly broke it in pieces, its altars, its images, killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priests appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And thus you have now the restoring and rebuilding under this reformation, if you will, concerning the house of the Lord must be restored. They began by appointing officers, made a covenant. And again, this is a return. Destroy the house of Baal. And then the captains of hundreds, the bodyguards, the escorts, all the people of the land, they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by the way of the gate, the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. Jehoash was 7 years old when he became king. Chapter 12. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. And we're going to take up this, if you will. Jehoiada, God knows, and so it's Yehovah and Yada are the root words, Jehoiada, God knows, and in the word for instruct is a word to describe the flow of a river. Okay? So it is this straightforward, that Jehoiada the priest is the one who is pointing the way for Jehoash. So a good portion of the ministry, if you will, in the body of Christ. So again, Ephesians 4:15, each member of the body doing their part as the body edifies itself in love. The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry concerning a good portion of the ministry is discipleship. A good portion of the ministry is pointing the way for another to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord. Instructed in the way of the cross? Have you been instructed in the gifts and baptism of the Holy Spirit? You consider these things. Have you been instructed, okay, in worship? Have you been instructed in following the Lord? Now, Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Now, a couple things that reveal this wasn't wholly given over to the work. The high places were not taken away. People still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Jehoash said to the priests, all the money dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages in the temple wherever the dilapidation is found. Okay. Now, because of Athaliah, because of her ransacking the temple to build that, I don't want to overemphasize this, but I'm at least going to acknowledge this observation that the priest protects the king. And now the king, when he's on the throne, turns to repair and watch over and keep the house of the Lord. It's interesting, because you would think, oh, the priest is only going to be focused on the house of the Lord, and yet you find it's Jehoiada, and I'll let you know on this now, when you study and you read through 2 Chronicles, Jehoiada is actually buried in the tombs with the kings because of all that he did for the house of David and all that he did for the kingdom. And they bury, he's the only priest I know of that is buried with the kings. It's an interesting thing, but the emphasis here is now the king takes an attention to building the house of the Lord. So Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus takes an emphasis in the establishment, strengthening, and building of his church. And as you serve in the kingdom, I don't know if you'll play such a role as Jehoiada or Jehoshaba, where when things are really right down to one or two things and you're right there. You know, Richard Wurmbrandt in Romania is a man like that. You think of Hudson Taylor going into China as a man like that. You can go right through the list of those who have gone Livingston into Africa. You might find at certain points, or you are faithfully teaching that children's ministry class, and you're not shortcutting them. You're studying the Word. You're praying for them. This part of the attention unto the house that it would be established and built, and therefore edified, built up, equipped. As you can catch my part to this, to tend the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God that's among me. Feed the flock, the word of God. We need the word. Now, it was so by the 23rd year that King Joash, the priest, had not repaired the damage of the temple. Now, some time has passed and none of the work's getting done. However, what he had asked them to do, he had asked them to repair the temple out of the regular money that was coming in that was for their support. And it's not that things are booming, or, if you will, like the house of the Lord is in affluence at that time. King Joash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said, why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now, therefore, do not take any more money from the constituency, but deliver it for repairing the damages of the temple. And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages to the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in the lid, and set it before the altar on the right side as one comes to the house of the Lord. And the priest who kept the door put all the money and brought it to the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came in and put it in the bags, counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord. Now, you talk about serving in the kingdom. Well, there are those, this is exactly what they do. How many of our mission trips have involved building some aspect of some part of the church in a building fashion? You know, digging a trench for the sewer line so the kitchen could be moved when Calvary Chapel Xochimilco lost half of their building because their corrupt lawyer never filed the paperwork, and then they had to buy back the building that they bought and the building that they paid for. They had to buy it back from the corrupt landowner and because of the corrupt lawyer, and there we are digging a ditch through solid rock and clay so they can have plumbing. And that's our mission trip. Now, these things that describe the work, and I'm going to take us there. Let's go to Romans 12. I pray that this helps shape your attitude toward what you do. Romans 12:9 says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And then 12:11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, helps ministry. I mean, you catch what these things are. There are many ways to be serving in his kingdom. Now, back to, they gave the money into the work, they did it. 12, to the masons, stone cutters for buying the timber, hewn stone, repair the damage of the house of the Lord for all that was paid out to the repair of the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, any artifacts of gold, articles of silver from the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Now you can take note of that verse because they're working on the structure, but they're not actually working at restoring the regular worship. But they gave to them workmen, they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account of the men, from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the trespass offerings, the money from the sin offerings, was not brought into the house of the Lord. It belonged to the priest. Now, Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. Now, we need the rest of the story. Find your way to 2 Chronicles 24. I know we'll be studying, Lord willing, 2 Chronicles coming up, but I don't want to miss this in this context. So we learned that Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord as long as Jehoiada the priest was pointing him the way, instructing him. 2 Chronicles 24:15, Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died at 130. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Look at verse 18. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to turn them back to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against him, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and repay." So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him. They came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king at Damascus. 24, the army of the Syrians came up with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded. Now, back to 2 Kings. Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath, took it. Hazael sent his face to go up to Jerusalem. And because they had forsaken the Lord, God handed them over to a smaller army. Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things of his fathers. Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, kings of Judah, and had dedicated his own sacred things and all the gold found in the treasury of the house of the Lord in the king's house, and he sent them to Hazael of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem. What do you know in 17 through and 18? God judged Jehoash because he had forsaken the Lord at the word of Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Now, the rest of the acts of Joash, all that he did, are they not written in the books of Chronicles of Kings of Judah? His servants arose, formed a conspiracy, killed Joash in the house of Millo, which goes down to Silla, for Jezachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, son of Shomar. His servants struck him so that he died. They buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Now, we come to this place tonight, of which now we're going to transition to communion. But I want to wrap this up for us. And to me, this is the best decision that you can make. As I serve in the kingdom of God. One of the best ways, if you catch it tonight, your loyalty is to the Son of God, and he is very interested in a good portion of the ministry will be in his house, which is his church. It's also the place to get equipping, hearing calling, sending, gifts of the Holy Spirit, baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, they were ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said to set apart Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, for the work of ministry. I find it, if we could have an environment where we worship the Lord in afterglow, and the Holy Spirit has his full opportunity to speak to us concerning his will and what he's calling you to do, or your great need or gifts of the Spirit that he has. So we're going to do something tonight. We're going to receive communion and then go right into afterglow. So if you can come up, and John, if you and Matt Huckabee would pass out the crackers and the grape juice. So what I want you to do as you receive communion tonight is to think upon Jesus Christ. Remember what he's done for you. Especially if your heart's hardened by sin, if you've been dabbling in way too many things of lusts of this world and flesh, I remind you to come back now in communion and remember Jesus Christ. Remember him on the cross. Remember his suffering. Remember his pain and his dying. And thank him. And restore whatever you need to restore between you and him tonight. You guys, go ahead and pass out the crackers and the grape juice. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for the study. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for Jesus. We think upon you and remember you tonight, Jesus.